Amen. He is so worthy of our praise. And so we've been doing it on Sunday mornings, and I love to see the growth in our lives and my own personal life when it comes to worship. And so this morning, I'm really blessed, and we're so lucky to have Pastor Marcy Polreich here this morning. This is her home church. She's always here, but to have her share. And some of you might know, most of you know Marcy, but some of you might not. For those of you that don't know, Pastor Marcy pastored this church with her husband, Pastor Ed, for like 13 years, and they have left an imprint on this place that will outlast all of us. And those of you that don't know, Pastor Ed was killed in a car accident in Africa about 2 years ago, and we miss him to this day. We love him, and but I know the impact that he left on so many is continuing to affect people. And I, even out of the hardest moments of my life, of Marcy's life, we're seeing God do things, and because he's faithful. And so we're so honored to have Marcy this morning. So would you welcome Marcy this morning as she comes? Yeah, come on.
Can you hear me? He was making me do a mic check. Mike doing mic checks. Oh, so exciting to be here this morning. Thank you. You know, it's something I got up this morning and I said to my sister, why is everything always so hard? Why can't it just be easier than this? And I walked out and I grabbed a cup of coffee and the scripture came to my mind, which we all know very well, and that is Proverbs 3:5. And it says this. Of course, we know it as trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. The message says it like this. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go, and he will keep you on track. And it's amazing. It's that simple. But why is it not that simple? I mean, let's just all be honest. It doesn't feel that simple to me. I'm like, okay. And I go back into the room and I said to Lynette, I said, here, I just had the answer to my question. I just have to trust God in it. So that's what I'm going to do this morning as I'm up here. I do want to say thank you for having me. This has been an amazing series. If you guys have not been a part of our worship series, if you're not in a small group, I hope I'm not overstepping my boundaries, but please still get into one. It's actually amazing. We have had an amazing group, and we just continue to grow and grow in the Lord, and it's exciting. We're finding out that worship is not just a song. It's who we are, Christ in us, being obedient to God, walking out those things that God asks us to do, not just singing, but walking those things out. You know, there is, before I get going, I just want to stop for a minute. I just have to say, I just want to introduce my friends. I'm sorry if I embarrass you, but this is Pastor Neil and Angela. If you can stand up, they're from Louisiana. They are good friends of Ed and mine. I'm so honored that they were with us this weekend as we celebrated Ron's homecoming, and it was a celebration. It's kind of, I'll be honest, it's kind of hard the last 2 years to see you know, great men of God that you love, fathers, and I did really good in the memorial until a picture popped up, and here was Ron, Scott, and Ed together, and I got a little lump in my throat and thought, oh, they're having a good time in heaven together. So I just smiled and thought, thank God that we had the privilege to live all those years together and serve the purposes of Christ together, and for that I will be forever grateful, forever grateful. I kind of think I'm on too loud in my mic because I'm ringing up here, unless it's just my ears. So, okay. So, let's get back. I want to talk a little bit. It's kind of funny, but I don't know if it's funny. Like, I'm trying to think if Pastor Justin was trying to be mean to me, but you know, he gave me this title. Who would give somebody this title? It's not about you. I have I've never gone through more warfare in the last month with the title of It's Not About You. Talk about God just totally rearranging your whole life. And you're thinking, you know, is this really in me? I mean, battle after battle. I mean, I go to Pastor Dave and Darlene's house. Love these guys. You know, father and mother, for 2 years they've been my counselors. Every time I have something, I have to come and talk to him. You know, the best thing that Pastor Dave said to me 2 weeks ago, Marcy, are you feeling sorry for yourself? That's what he said to me. And you know what I said to him? I said to him, am I? Tell me, am I? And we talked it through. And you know, I walked out of his house and I went and I said, God, test me and know my heart. Show me if I'm feeling sorry for myself, because that's not a place you want to stay. It's not a place you want to stay. See, you know people that love you when they call you to that place of where God wants you to be. You know, I will never forget that after Ed died, there was a moment of times that I thought, what am I going to do? And I'll never remember. I can't remember exact scenario, but Chad Hansen called me and he says, Marce, this is what we're going to do. And I said, I don't want to do that because I want to do that with Ed. And you know what Chad said to me? He said, Marce, that option's not available. What's your next option? He didn't let me stay in that place. And we can't, because it's not about us. It's about Christ in us. So let's continue on. You know, there is nothing like those powerful moments in the presence of God. Sometimes it feels as though everything is just right in the presence of God. You know what I'm talking about? His joy surrounds you, your rest, you get strengthened, you get clarity. Don't you love those moments?
Yeah.
But have you ever felt the opposite? That when you've tried to enter into worship and you feel nothing, nothing at all, like you wonder, what is wrong with me? Has God left me? You ever felt that way, or is it just me?
Yeah.
I've wondered that. I've wondered that in the last 2 years where I thought, have you left me, God? Have you left me? Because I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. I don't hear anything. I don't know if you've left. And you know, the Bible does speak of one cause in particular, a cause which begins and ends with us. This could be the result in us missing out on God's nearness. Listen to what James 4:8 says. Come close to the one true God, and he will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you have dirtied them in sin. Cleanse your heart, because your mind is split down the middle, your love for God on one side and selfish pursuit on the other. So see, it can't be about us. And like I told you, this is my title this morning. It's not about you. It's not about me. And you know, it really isn't about us, but rather it's our surrender, our yielding, our submission to say, God, whatever you want, I'm willing to do it.
Come on.
And you know, I love this, because if you haven't gone through your book, you will see this quote, and it says, God's best for you is on the other side of surrender. God's best for you is on the other side of surrender. Surrender is yielding. Surrendering to what God has. This morning, it's something as I was preparing the last few weeks, I love the Word of God.
Yeah, amen.
And it really is exciting and fun. You got to make it exciting and fun. I mean, the Bible is a story. Guys, it's exciting. It's a story of war. Girls, it's exciting. It's a story of love. Where do you find a book that has stories that fits all of our personalities?
Right.
Yeah. One book, and if everybody in here would take one story that you love, you could just find it all in one book.
Yeah.
I love it, but it's something because it was kind of hard, because the more I studied, I liked this story, and I like this story, and I like this story, and I like this story. The good thing is all the stories are out of the Bible, which is the Rhema Word of God, so they're not my made-up stories, to let you know that. But this morning, I am going to start with a story, and I want you to know this. If some of you have heard me before, if you haven't, I tend to be a paraphraser. The reason I tell you that is I'm going to tell you I'm going to be reading out of John 21. majority of it is going to be coming out of the message. And I love to tell God's word as a story. And so I want to tell you that it'll be out of John 21. So if you're lost today, you can go home and read it. Make sure that I am accurate. If I'm not, I'm sure you'll get some calls, Pastor Justin. That's the great thing about it. I'm so proud of you guys. I can just come up here and now turn it over to you and say, oh, they got you covered. Okay, here we go. We're going to read out of John 21. It starts like this. So Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Sea of Galilee. Now, this is how it happened. Peter and a few disciples were together. There was about seven of them. So if you wonder, there's a lot more to this story. I'm not going to take you into it very far. But if you're new here, this is after Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. He appeared one time to the disciples. Now he's appeared to them again, and it's at the Sea of Galilee. Peter, before they go down to the sea, Peter announces, I'm going fishing. I'm going to go back to do what I know what to do. The rest of the disciples replied, we're going with you. They went out and got in the boat. They fished all night, and they caught nothing. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Now, it could have been dawn. Maybe it was kind of, you know how dawn is, you can't really see. But they didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus spoke to them, and he said this, good morning, did you catch anything for breakfast? They answered, no. So, let me give you a little setting of this story, okay? So here is Peter and some of the disciples. They're in the boat. They were fishermen before they came to Jesus. They were professional fishermen before they spent 3 years of their life with Jesus. They knew how to fish, okay? So they go out there. They're going back to fish, and they catch nothing. And Jesus is on the beach to ask him, hey, what'd you get for breakfast? Nothing. So they're out there doing that, doing what they know to do. Jesus asked the question. This is the thing. Jesus already knew they did not catch any fish. See, Jesus was actually, it was a hypothetical question. The emphasis was placed on what isn't there. Returning to their old ways was fruitless. Basically, what Jesus was asking them is, how's that working for you? He was asking him, how's it working for you? So then if you continue on the Bible, he offers them a solution. He says this, throw the net off on the right side of the boat and see what happens. Okay, let's talk about this, Pastor Dave. Nice, huh? Can you imagine what is going on in the boat at this time? You've got to be kidding me. Is he serious? Like, throw our nets on the right side? We have already thrown them on the right, the left, the front, the back. You know what? We are professional fishermen. We know when when our bait is wrong. We know when the visibility is bad. We know when it's too cloudy, too sunny. We're professional fishermen, don't we, Pastor Dave? And you tell us to throw it on the right side? And you know what? This is the funny thing. They did. They were probably going, you know what? What do we got to lose? The guy's totally crazy, but since we are professional fishermen and we did everything I just told you they were talking about that they were doing, they decide, yeah, let's just throw it over on the side and see what happens. You know, it may sound funny to you, but can I tell you something? This scenario happens to us all the time. All the time, you guys go through things, whether you're at work or at home or with your kids or wherever you are. This scenario comes at you all the time where someone all of a sudden or a voice says to you, do it, try the right side. And you're thinking, I'm a professional at this. Telling me the right side, I already tried the right side.
Right.
But for some reason, they said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and try it. So they throw it in. They did as he said, and all of a sudden, there were so many fish in the net, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. That's what the Bible says. They listened to the voice of God, and what happened? Like that. Yeah. The fish came in. They had already tried that side. But when Jesus said, put your net on this side, they put it in, and just like that, the net was full. They couldn't even pull the net in because of all the fish. You see, in this scenario, Jesus is saying, I know where the fish are. I know exactly what you're looking for and where you can find it. Jesus said, if you're looking for friendship, I know where it is. If you're looking for acceptance, meaning in life, if you're looking for provision, if you're looking for healing, if you're looking for security, I know where it is.
Come on, good word.
God knows where it is. And you know what? This is truth, because I have been in that place. Many of you have been in that place. Pat has been in that place. I need healing. God is my healer. I have been in that place. I need provision. I don't have my husband anymore. I need wisdom. I need direction. I don't know how to parent these kids alone. Everything that comes at me. But you know what? I know that I can trust God. So Jesus is asking us the same question as he asked Peter and the disciples. He's looking at your familiar patterns of life, and he's asking you, how's it working for you?
Yeah.
That's what he's asking us all the time. He's not asking for information from you. He already knows how it's working for you. Do you see that? So you're saying, but you just said he asked that question. He's asking, how is your way of life working for you? Because I have something better for you. How's it working? See, and as long as we deny our situations and continue to think we are running the show, we are functioning on it's all about me. The moment we realize that I don't have anything to offer, there's times when you have to say, I'm miserable. I can't do this. It's not working. Jesus says, put your net over here. I know where you're looking, what you're looking for. You'll find it when you follow me.
Okay.
Do you hear that? So follow what Jesus is saying. Let's go back to the word. In verse 7 and 9, it says, then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the master. It's Jesus. When Peter realized that it was Jesus, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. Peter loved being first. You guys hear the stories of Peter. He loved being first. Nothing unusual. Here he is. He jumps in the water. Jesus, I'm still your guy. You can count on me. What do you think? Jesus is probably thinking, Peter, you still don't get it. You told me you would die for me, but you denied me three times. What I'm trying to help you understand, Peter, is I can't count on you, but you can count on me. You guys, this is worship that Jesus is trying to help us understand. I hope you grab a hold of it today. Please let this truth explode in your heart. It's Jesus saying to Peter and to us, it's not, you're not dependable, but I am. You're not going to come through, but Jesus is saying, I am going to come through. You are going to fail me, but I am not going to fail you. How many things, the battles in our mind, that go through our mind all the time, and what we choose to believe in that moment. We all go through it. I go through it. I went through it this whole time preparing, thinking, you know, everything that could come at my mind is coming in my mind. You can't do this, you're not that, da-da-da. You know, oh, you don't want to go there, they don't like you. I mean, on and on and on. Yeah. Our minds, those battles in the mind. When it came to Peter, Jesus was definitely going to trust Peter to do big things in the future. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Peter may have been of, I want to be first, and I want to do it, but you know what? God saw that in Peter.
Yes.
And he was going to trust Peter.
Yes.
But Peter had, because Peter had qualities in him that God was going to use as the foundation of building the early church. But see, Jesus also knew he wasn't ready for that responsibility until Peter knew Jesus was the real foundation.
Good.
Remember, again, it is not about you. It is not about you. It's not about me. As long as Peter believed it all depended on him, Jesus couldn't use him.
Peter needed to depend on Jesus first. Let me tell you, in John 15, 5 through 7, it says this. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Right. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done. See, Peter had forgotten that he had tried to do things his way. He denied Jesus. He had fished all night and caught nothing. But Jesus was teaching Peter some truth all over again. That's what he was doing. Saying, you went out and did what was familiar to you, and it didn't work. Jesus says this, I speak the word and point my finger in one direction, and you follow me, my timing and my ways, and put your net down where I say to put it, it will be filled. You guys, that's what God is saying to us. Good. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. That we can say, he speaks the word, says this is the way to go. Now walk in it.
Good.
And that's going to be a choice. I mean, like I said, we hear things all the time. And you're going to choose to say, okay, this is the path he tells me. Now walk in it. You know what I love so much about these guys, you, Pastor Justin, Pastor Ryan, is that you're choosing to hear the voice of the Lord and say, this is the way, I'm going to walk in it. Yeah. You're choosing to hear the voice of the Lord. Because if you just trust in yourself or what people say, you're going to find out that your net is going to be completely empty. Yeah.
Come on.
But when you guys take it and you say, I'm going to trust God.
Good.
And he
Good.
Says, Ryan and Justin, put your net on this side. And you say, Jesus, we already did that side. And he says, try it again.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And your fish will be there. This is our same invitation today. When we say to Jesus, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to put down my net? How do you want me to speak? And whatever you say, Lord, I know it's the best. See, Jesus serves us in our emptiness.
Right.
He feeds us after we've let him and ourselves down. Jesus welcomes us near when we look weary, exhausted, when we're disappointed. But you know what he says to us? Can I feed you some breakfast?
Yeah.
I am life. I am strength, grace, power, and mercy for you. That's mercy and grace displayed over and over again.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Let's go back to what reading the Bible. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from the land. 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, bring some of your fish you've caught. Peter joined them and pulled the net into shore. 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. You know what's funny, but do you ever read a verse and you all of a sudden find a word there that it's amazing? Think about it. The net didn't rip. Trust Jesus in your situations. He will hold it together no matter what. No matter how big it is, God is going to hold it together. Because when you have that many fish in a net, it should have probably ripped.
Sure.
But you know what? Jesus put those fish there. He was still in control of the process. No matter what situation you're in, the net will not rip if Jesus is in it.
Good.
He will hold it together, even if it seems like everything's going to fall apart. Trust me, if anybody can stand up here and say it to you, I can say to you, when everything in front of you looks like everything's going to fall apart, all you can do is trust God. From the bottom of my heart, like I read at the beginning, try not to figure out everything on your own. But we do that. We do that. Okay, I'm getting off track. I'm sorry. You have to keep me on track, Pastor Justin, Pastor Dave. I can preach 100 sermons all at one time, just so you know. Okay, going back here, Jesus said, breakfast is ready. Not one of the disciples dare asked, who are you? For they knew it was Jesus. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. After breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" What Jesus meant was, when it comes to loving me, are you first or am I? See, Peter wanted to be first in everything. And Jesus knew Peter loved him. But Jesus didn't want Peter to be confident in Peter. Jesus wanted Peter to be confident in God. Yeah. Do you hear what he's asking there? He wants Peter to love Jesus more than he loves himself. Right. See, we cannot do it without God's presence. We cannot do it without being confident in God. Amen. Continuing on in the Bible, "Yes, Master, you know I love you," said Peter. Jesus said, "Tell people about me." He then asked a second time, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Master, you know I love you," Jesus said, "teach people about me." Then he said a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter was upset that he asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" So he answered, "Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you." Jesus said, "Share my love by caring for people." See, Jesus was telling Peter to invest in people. Jesus was telling Peter, "You're not disqualified because you've blown it in life." Did you hear me?
Yeah.
You guys, you're not disqualified because you blow it in life.
Right.
I blow it too.
Yeah.
I don't always have the right words to tell my kids. I don't always have the right words to say to something. You know what? But I can trust God.
Yeah.
I can trust God. What we need most is to not be perfect or about ourselves, but be consumed with Jesus.
Come on.
Even if you've denied him, he will still serve you mercy and love. Jesus will serve you breakfast over and over again. Breakfast is served before any problems are ever worked out. Huh. Have you ever noticed that about Jesus?
Yeah.
He serves breakfast a lot more prior to any problems being worked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. It makes me so excited. God is such a God of relationship.
Come on.
Yeah. It's not, let's just sit down here. Let's, Pastor Justin, let's work out all your problems. And then Jesus says to you, "You know what, Pastor Justin? Hey, want to go have breakfast? The Pancake House is excellent.
Oh, sure.
Let's go there."
Good.
We cannot do it without God's presence. You know, we just can't. Can I tell you that? There's so many people in the Bible that we could talk about. I could tell you about David. I love the stories about David. One scripture verse I love with David is he said this, "Jesus, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me." He was basically saying in that verse, I cannot do anything without your presence.
Amen.
What about Moses when he went to Mount Sinai? He goes up there and he says, "Jesus, here he is dealing with people that are not being very kind at this time." If you want to read that story, it's found in Exodus 33. You can, did I say the right one? 33, 32. You will, you can read the story, but he is stuck with a grumbling people. And he goes to the top of the mountain and he talks to Jesus and he says, "I cannot do this without your presence. If your presence doesn't go before me, I can't do this."
Yeah.
There are key things in knowing those things. That's a secret that has to be in us. That we know we cannot do things on our own. We can say we try. You know, I remember when my kids were really young and I was going through a situation with one of my kids, which it's, I think you go through situations with your kids forever.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't mean to discourage you on that. But I was praying, "God, I can't do this anymore." And in an instant, I heard a voice say, "You're right, you can't do this."
Yeah.
And I found myself on my knees saying, "I can't do it. But God, you can."
Yeah.
And you know what? God knows what you need. I found myself in my car going to work one day, and I was telling the Lord, and I was praying and crying out for my kids, like most parents do, crying out for our kids. And all of a sudden, I found myself telling the Lord this: if there's so much power in your name, this is how I'm going to pray. And I began to say, I speak Jesus over Justin. I speak Jesus over Brittany. I speak Jesus. And I went down through my whole family and all my brothers and sisters and all Ed's brothers and sisters and my moms and dads. And all I said was, I speak Jesus over one of them. And I did it for 2 weeks. Do you know that I got a better report for my kids in 2 weeks than I ever did with my big long list that God already knew was on my mind? Have you ever figured that out? You know what? Sometimes we babble on, because we're sure God isn't hearing us. You know what? He already knows what you're going to say before you even say it. So I just said, you know what? If there's that much power in your name, this is how I'm going to pray. Jesus. Yeah. Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I want to just, as I am getting closer to closing, I'm reminded of a story. I think many of you have remembered the story. Pastor Ed shared this story, but it's really been on my thought and mind lately. And there was a story of a roadrunner bird that everybody heard of, Bethel down in California. They had a bird that was a roadrunner. Have anybody heard the story? And this roadrunner bird was like their prayer mascot. And when they began to pray, the roadrunner bird would come and just sit outside of their window. And they would come and pray, and the roadrunner would come. And one day, the roadrunner got inside to the prayer room. So now he's in the prayer room with them. And they had a glass door like this. And one day, someone came into the prayer room, and it startled the roadrunner. And of course, like most birds do, they're going to go to the light. So the roadrunner ran to the back, and it hit the glass, and it died. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. Although it is pretty good. And so they were like, this is our prayer mascot. We need to resurrect him. They were praying. And Bill Johnson tells the story that the Lord spoke to him in that moment and said, if my presence remains in this four walls, it will die. And see, I believe this is the secret of the series that we're going through of worship. Amen. That we are in homes, we're out and about in the community, then we come back on Sunday, we gather together. God's presence is in here. It's in here. God's presence isn't here. It's not meant to stay in here. It's meant to be shared out. And I've thought about that a lot. I've thought, God, if I have all this in me, all these giftings in me and all these presents in me, and I never share them, I'm going to die. And people are going to die because they're not going to hear it. You know, I just love where I'm at, just the presence of God. Great. I'm glad you love where you're at. But you're meant to give it away, not to keep it. Yeah. It's meant to be given away.
Good.
So my encouragement to us as we're going through these series, that we remember that when we come here and we encourage one another on Sundays, that when we leave for the week, we leave taking the presence of God with us wherever we go. You know, I think of this scripture. You know, we talk about Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, you guys, hope is that expecting desire for good things. See, no matter where we go, we should give people a daily dose of hope. Christ in us, Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Like, what's wrong with that girl? You know what? She can preach the gospel without using words. You know what? I do that all the time. I love it. Have you guys ever gone to the store? Okay, I weird everybody out at Costco. Because you go through, you can talk to everybody in line and the line next to you. And they're all like, do we know that girl? No, but I don't care if you don't know me. How are you doing today? What are you doing with those? You know what? Why are you buying Legos? You're going to be the hit of the party. And everybody's staring at me like, what is wrong with that girl? But you know what? That's preaching the gospel without any words. We're to be an encouragement to people. We're to bring hope to them.
That's so good.
How many people do you say to them, how are you today? And they say, I'm okay. Yeah. Want me to tell you the biggest shocker is when you turn to them and say, just okay?
Yeah.
I'm all ears. Come on, tell me.
Yeah.
And then they're like, she cares.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have asked. Just okay? How can we get you from okay to great?
Amen.
You know how I can tell them, you know what? I was granted another day of life. There's always something to be thankful for. I tell people often, there are 1,000 things in a day to be thankful for.
Amen.
Don't forget that.
That's right.
Don't be like Eve in the garden, that you have everything and you live in a beautiful garden. I live in a beautiful garden, just like Eve did. She looked at the one thing she couldn't have and it took her out of the garden. If I look at the one thing I don't have, I will be taken out of my beautiful garden. And there are 1,000 things in a day to be thankful for.
Good. Good word. Good word.
Let me leave you with this, Romans 12, 1 through 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attentions on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Love it, love it. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Let God change you from the inside out. Remember, it is not about you. It's all about Jesus. Lord, I just bless this congregation today, the people here. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a new day of life. I thank you, God, that we can meet here together. I thank you, God, that we have breath. I thank you, God, that you are our joy and you are our strength and you are our provider. I thank you, God, that in the hard times you are with us. God, I thank you that your word says, in good times be happy and in bad times consider, God, you have made one as well as the other. God, I pray over each one today. I pray encouragement in their heart. I pray as they continue on this series of worship. The Lord, we know that worship is not just a song, but it's our heart that says, God, whatever you desire in me, I want to do. Lord, I pray this week and even now, if there's a quickening of your spirit, I pray for those, if there's anyone here now that has never had that touch from you in their life, that they will have a touch from you. God, we thank you that your presence is here. We thank you that your presence is available for any of those that call upon you. God, I speak healing over those that need healing today. I speak provision over those that need jobs today. God, we just release. If you could stand up, I just want everybody, I want to release faith over people that, Lord, I just pray right now, those that are in need of jobs, those that are in need of increase in their jobs, we call forth your increase in provision to come forth in Jesus' name. I pray, oh God, for those that need your healing power. God, we remind you of your word that says, by your stripes we are healed. And as your days are, so shall their strength be. Father, I just speak your word. I speak your word. We call upon your name. Thank you.
So Marcy was asked to share on this week on surrender, and yeah, that sounds pretty mean. I have a guy to ask her to share on that topic after everything she's been through, but here's why. It's because she can. Because she did. She can talk on surrender because She did surrender because she had to, because she needed something constant. Here's, I think, the one of the biggest fears that we're taught. Oh, I want this. My wife's like, you have our two-year-old son's pajamas. Yeah, I do. As men especially, this is what we're taught. The biggest fear as a man is this. Right? Surrender. The white flag. Means what? Means I lost. Surrender means I lose. The Bible says this. The Bible says that when we lose our life, we find it. We gain. I'm not talking we lose it as in we're just like, you know, dead physically. When we surrender to Jesus, we find what life is all about. And here's what I know about surrender with the Lord. You don't do this one time. When I was 2 years old or 4 years old, I did that. Sometimes you surrender every minute, Marcy, right? Every time those thoughts come, you have to take those things captive and say, I surrender. God, this isn't my life. It's your life. God, it's not about me. It's about you. You surrender, what, 10 times a day? It's not a one-time thing. And so here's what I want to do and is in response to the word is I believe we're all at different levels of where we're at with Jesus. But I don't want a moment to go by where we can't stop and give people an opportunity to surrender to Jesus. Whether for the first time or for the... I did this morning when I was trying to worship and my kids were driving me crazy and I felt like I had to surrender. It doesn't matter. Because here's what I know. When we surrender to God and when we say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't get it. But we allow Him in His plan and His purposes when we surrender to be the things that will prevail in our life, not our plans and our purposes. Because here's what I know, God's plans for your life are so much better than your own plans. And you got good plans for your life. Right? The Bible talks about when we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. And when we knock on the door, guess what? The door's open. And so here's what I want to do. Steve's just going to play, and I'm just going to pray over us, and I'm going to respond, but God wants us to respond to Him today because He has great things in store for you, but without the surrender, right? You're waving a dirty shirt, I know. It's a flag. Right? It's called an illustration. Without the surrender, you will not see what God has in store for your life. So would you just close your eyes, and I just want to pray. And some of you might not have Jesus, and I want to encourage you that this morning that Jesus wants to come into your life, and He wants to be your God, and He wants to be your Lord, and He wants you to surrender everything you have to Him because He has true life for you to take. So God, all over this room, Father, I pray for every person in this place. Father, I pray for those who know You, and I pray for those who don't know You. And Father, we just, as we heard the word that was so beautiful, Father, that we might say, hey, I've done this so many times. I've been fishing for years. I've been doing this God thing for years. I've tried that before. Father, this morning, we just clear the slate, and we say, we surrender to You. Father, we give up our thoughts of how we think it's going to play out in the situations that are going on in our lives. And Father, we just surrender to You. Father, I pray this morning for those that don't know You, that have never encountered You. Or Father, maybe it was something they did when they were a long time ago. But God, this morning, I believe that You're calling us by name and saying, would You surrender everything to Me? Because as long as You're not surrendering, I'm not winning. As long as we're not giving our all to You, Father, Your plans don't take place in our life. And so come on, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask us all to pray a prayer, and I'm just going to, you're going to repeat it after me. But here's what I want to do. I believe that it's something that God's asking us as a church to do, that we would say, God, we surrender to you. Amen? So would you just pray this after me? Say, Jesus, we surrender to you. Father, have your will and your way in my life. We want you, we need you, and we love you. Father, take control. Forgive us, forgive me, when I've tried to keep control in my own hands, where I've tried to figure it out and not trust in you. Jesus, I trust you today. Have your way in my life. Have your way in my family. And let your will be done. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's Steve, would you just sing a chorus? Let's respond to him this morning and then we'll dismiss. But come on, let's sing this out to him today.
Hope is alive today. 'Cause he is alive today. The stone was rolled away, death defeated in his grave. Hope is alive today, 'cause he is alive today. 'Cause no matter what we face, we overcome in Jesus' name.
Oh, hope is alive today, 'cause he is alive today. The stone was rolled away, the death defeated in his grave. Our hope is alive today, 'cause he is alive today. It's no matter what we face, we overcome. Let's sing it again. Hope is alive. Hope is alive today, 'cause he is alive today. The stone was rolled away, the death defeated in his grave. Hope is alive today, 'cause he is alive today. But no matter what we face, we overcome in Jesus' name. Hope is alive today. Your hope is alive. Your hope is alive. Your hope is alive.
Come on, this isn't just a song, but I believe it's what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do in our hearts, is he wants to say, where there was no hope, there is now hope. Amen? And hope is alive because he is alive. Amen? Thank you. Come on, wasn't that the word of the Lord for us today? Marcy, thank you. I tell you, hope is alive, not only in me, but hope is alive in Marcy because he is alive. Hey, many of you know her granddaughter, Lila. She's the sweetest thing, but two years old, 2.5. She has her open heart, her surgery this coming Friday, where she's had battles, and many of you have prayed for her. But let's cover her, Marcy, and Jessica, and Tyson, and Lila with prayer this week, as she's going to be in there, that God would do a miracle, and that God would fix what's going on. Amen? And so be praying for her this week, and I know you will. And man, thank you, Marcy. That was so good. Before we go this morning, I don't want service to just end and us go on, but afterwards, if any of you need prayer, I want to invite you to come up, and we want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, and you're saying, man, Pastor Justin, I want to know Jesus more, I want you to come talk to me after the service so we can pray for you and make sure that we all go out of here knowing Jesus and the art of surrender. Amen? Amen. So be praying for Lila this week. We'll hopefully see you tonight in a few hours. God bless you. Be here at 6. And let's go surrendering to Him. Amen. You're released.